please go ahead and give him the praise due him. Hallelujah. Amen. We pledge our allegiance to the Lamb. Pushing on in the mix of the struggles with our humanity, we still pledge our allegiance to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Our humanity will not stop us. It will not prevent us, and it will not hinder us from worshiping the Master. Amen. With your hands lifted up, say, Heavenly Father, once again, I have come that far by faith and grace. This morning, I have come to embrace, to receive illumination, infusion of light to make me better, to help me make sense of the unanswered questions on my mind. Help me to find my way back to the cross, to overcome the struggles of my humanity, to conquer the challenges of this world. In the name of Jesus, I command and demand that every yoke and every spell and every activity of the enemy be broken off me, broken off this service, broken off the atmosphere. I command the release of all your children held up home and abroad. I command your release right now. As I put my hands together, I command your release. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 to 15. It's important to understand that you can pray with tongues, but when you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. It is your spirit that is praying, making known mysteries to the Father, as the scriptures so declare. And Paul said, therefore, I will pray with understanding, and I'll also pray in tongues with my spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and give God praise. Be seated. Be seated. It's good to be with you. It's good to see you. And I welcome all of our members, home and abroad, especially our online members. We love you. We thank God for you. We celebrate you. Wherever you are blessed of the Lord. And I pray that this week, your lot will fall on pleasant places, and that God will favor you like never before, and that favor will surround you this week as a shield. And we bless you and celebrate you and thank God for you especially our online members. Whatever your situation is, our prayers are with you. And we pray and believe that God will make a way out for you. I did ask Bishop to put a number on the screen that if by any means or any reason anyone gets infected with the coronavirus, first thing you must do, don't be afraid. Say, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You will not die. It doesn't have the mandate to take your life. Are you hearing me, somebody? You can't stop the enemy from attacking you, but you can stop him from overcoming you. Amen? So the first thing you do is don't be afraid. And if you get infected, just call a number on the screen. Just call these numbers. Please take these numbers down. Just call this number and just say, please pray with me and tell Papa to pray with me. And we will intercede for you. I've been doing that since the lockdown, interceding for people home and abroad all over the place, praying for them. And I've seen some very critical situations where doctors gave up on them and said, that's it. They are not going to make it. It's done. They've gone into coma, heart and lungs, whatever, is shut down. And we said, no way, it's not happening. Corona doesn't have the mandate to take life. We bind your power, we curse you, we reverse this situation in the name of Jesus. And we've seen them come back and come to thank God. Come to my office. Some from outside, they fly there. I've seen it all over the place. There are people sitting here right now who got infected and they have recovered. So first thing, don't be afraid. No matter what, don't panic. Believe God and you pull through it. And so it's important you keep these numbers. And if you have a loved one and a friend who for whatever reason have been infected, you can also call the number. Special prayers will be done for them. But my focus is my members. So if any member, just call and say, hey, I'm a member of the house. I'm so and so. I just tested positive. Please ask Papa to pray for me. And I will reach out in prayer for you. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together. I want to talk to you today and possibly next week on a subject that is burning on my heart, and I entitle it Redeeming the Times. Redeeming the Times. And I also want to pray for all those from 60 and above and from 70 and above. You don't have too much time when you hit 60 and above and 70 and above, and you have to live differently. You must begin to live as if you don't have time anymore. Your priorities must change. You can't live like you used to when you were 30, 40, or even 50 anymore. You have to start thinking about eternity. You have to think about eternity more than time. You have to reconsider a lot of things and start realizing that in the event that you stand before the Lord, what kind of account will you give to the Master? You have to begin to think through a lot of things and begin to question your motives for serving God. And ask yourself, what is it that I have done for the Master, for the ministry, for the kingdom, that will give me eternal mileage? And we will repeat some of these messages. The different crowns of the believer. The different crowns of the believer. And how each one of us will and can attain these crowns. So it's not just about being a believer and going to heaven. But there are crowns, there are rewards awaiting believers in eternity with Christ. And whether we will receive those crowns or not has everything to do with what we did with Christ and the ministry and our time and our resources, our giftings, our talents, influence and access while we were alive. Everything you and I will be and become in eternity, and even our place in history, has everything to do with what you and I did whilst we were alive for Christ, for his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not stand a chance. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And so God's number one priority on earth is his church. It's not about nations. It's not about silver or gold. But he's building his church. He's building people, the redeemed of the Lord, the believers. And that is God's number one priority. And whoever we are, and whatever we do in life, life and time is given to you and I to do only one thing, to help Jesus fulfill the great commission, to work with him in building his church, touching souls, advancing the ministry. That will determine our place in eternity and in history. And sometimes I wonder what it will be like when we see him. Because if I look at the way the world is going and how believers are living their lives, sometimes it's like we forget that we are in transit. We forget that there is an eternity awaiting us. And how we live and what we do while here with Jesus and the ministry, again, I repeat, has everything to do with our placement in eternity. And I think that it is good to be reminded every now and then, and it's good for me to remind myself and to remind you that from 60 going, and even below 60 and above, and 70 going, you cannot just take life and time for granted anymore. And so I want to talk to you about time, redeeming the time. For we live in very interesting times. These are not normal times anymore. Time governs all things. You go to bed according to time or by time. You wake up by time. You eat by time. You go in and out of your house by time. Everything is governed by time. And God made it that way. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter and the 14th verse, he created the greater light by day and the greater light by night. The sun to govern the day and the moon to govern the night. And so time and seasons are governed and controlled by the moon and by the sun. And that is what it is. The sun rules and governs the day. And when the sun goes down, time changes. A particular time has come to an end. And a new time or season kicks in, the season of the night. And the season of the night operates by the moon for a number of hours. Then another season comes and time changes. So one season hands over the rule of another season. And that is what it is. If we don't begin to discern and appreciate the times we live in, and we just live anywhere, anyhow, without understanding of the times, we may run into a lot of problems. So let's begin our journey. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the subject of redeeming the times. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, the 15th and the 16th verse. Walk circumspectly means be discerning, be wise, be sober, be vigilant. Right.
But as wise.
Not as fools. Not as fools. We have a flight to catch. We have a flight. What is that noise? I think it's our kids, the youth. We have a flight to catch. And if you travel, or if you are traveling, and you have a ticket, and the visa going somewhere, and there is a particular time for international flight, is 2 hours before time, local flight an hour before. You are paid according to the time given to you. And even if you have to sleep and rest, you program the your watch, set the alarm, or you tell somebody, wake me up at this time. Because you are going somewhere. You can miss your flight if you are in transit. And that has happened to me before, and you oversleep. And you don't watch the information on the screen, or you don't hear the announcement, you can get to the gate when the gate is shut and you have to wait for another flight. But this flight is only one. There is no other flight or train. It's one. And so it's important that we remind ourselves every now and then and be wise and understand the times. Because ignorance of the times we live in results into abuse of the times. Go ahead, please.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Redeeming the times because the days are evil. Ladies and gentlemen, these are evil days. These are abnormal days or times. Times have changed. And may I submit to you that it's not going to be any better again, as so many hope and want to see. I hope and I trust and believe and look forward for better times and better days. But there's never going to be any better days or any better times anymore as time goes on in this world, but in Jesus. For Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. For in this world you will face trouble, tribulation, but it is in me that you will find peace. It's never going to get any better out there, in any country, in any nation, but in God. So if you have any investment to make, make it in Christ, not outside of him. For everything we do outside of this church is sinking sand. The inheritance we leave for our kids, and all the things we give to our kids and our loved ones as a result of God's favor, grace and mercy, we will go to any extent and do anything for our kids, all of us including me, than we will do for the work of God and the house of God. But please hear me, that nothing we do for our kids gives you and I eternal mileage. The only thing that determines our placement in eternity when we meet the Master is what we did for his death, not the things we did for our kids. Now it is good to do things for your kids, but over and above that, more must go to the ministry, to the ministry, to the work of the Lord, because those are the things that determine your place and my place in eternity and in history. So let's rethink and realize that he keeps you and I alive and blesses us to advance the ministry, his church, his work, for which Jesus shed his blood. So, redeeming the time. Time is something you can't buy. You can buy everything, but you can't buy time. 2020 is never going to come back again. It's gone. It's gone forever and will never come back again. So when the Bible says redeeming the time means be wise, be vigilant, make the best use of time, realizing that you are not here by chance or mistake. For you have come into the world for such a time like this to perform a duty. And woe is us, woe is you and I, if we miss this opportunity. And we can miss it if we are ignorant of the times. We can miss it if we don't understand the signs of the time that we are living in. Abnormal times or days is never like it used to be and will never be again. Making the best use of time. Using time, using skill, using resources, using all that we have to advance the ministry for eternal mileage. Your placement in eternity will not be determined when you die or when you leave earth. What you and I will become in eternity is being determined or decided right now. But what we are doing for the master and for the ministry. Please don't forget. John chapter 9, verse 4.
I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
This is Jesus speaking. And he said, I have a business to perform. You and I have a business to perform. And there will come a day when it is too late. There will come a time when it is over. And we cannot perform anymore, even if we want to. There is something called too late. I pray that you and I will not blow it. That we will not wait until it's too late for a night cometh. There is coming a time called the night. Is also a time called a night. The Bible says, weeping and tears for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So night is a time, morning is another time. The experience of the night is weeping, the experience of the morning is joy. They are two different times. So there will come a time called the night, when none of us can work anymore, when everything will be over, and when everything we fought for, we've worked for, we've labored for, and everything we stood for will mean nothing anymore. And what will matter and will mean everything is what we did for the master and the ministry. That is what will count. The treasures, the possessions, the deep pockets, the houses, the lands, the investments we made, and all those monies, ladies and gentlemen, will all come to a halt. And it will go into the hands of a stranger, and I pray that don't happen to you and I, nor it will fall into the hands of another who may not be wise enough to use it for a good cause. Solomon said the other day, he said, I don't know if the one that comes after me will be wise, and if he will mishandle what I have built, or he will handle it wisely. And he wasn't. He wasn't wise. Pray that you and I will reflect on our eternity with the Master. Let's move on. Psalm 90, verse 12.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Teach us to number our days. It means that help us to appreciate and understand that we're not going to be here forever. You and I won't be here forever. And we have to start thinking like we are not here. And if you are not here, how are things going to be? I started reflecting and thinking. I know that I will live long. And I'm not worried and afraid of that. I am confident and I believe God for long life. But I started thinking and reflecting that if I am not here, how will this house, ministry, church, be like? What will things be like? And I started reconsidering many things. And I said to myself, I need to make some changes. I need to make some adjustments. I need to start acting and thinking like I am not here. And start seeing what will happen and how things will be like if I wasn't here. That doesn't mean you are living. But that is the way to think. It will make you sober. It will help you to live a life that is expected and required of you and I by the Master. Because this mentality that you are going to be forever and you have time and you fix it tomorrow is a deception of the enemy. You know, there's a song called Tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's like we keep deferring, procrastinating. Tomorrow I'll give my life. You and I don't have tomorrow by our wish, will, or desire. Tomorrow is only guaranteed by our usefulness to the work of the Lord. Our tomorrow is only guaranteed by our usefulness and availability to the Master and to His purpose and agenda. That is what guarantees our tomorrow. Tomorrow is not guaranteed because you and I want to live, because we choose to be alive or wish to be here. It is our usefulness to His mandate, to His purpose, to the ministry, to what He is doing on earth, to His ongoing purpose that determine how long we'll be here. How useful are you? What is it that you're doing for the Master? Are you living for the Master? What is your role in the house of the Lord? Are you just occupying space? Or you are doing something for the ministry? Do you just give an offering and a tithe? Are you the one that just tips God like He's a waiter? And think that, okay, God, that is all you can get from me. I'm too busy and I don't have time. So I will give the church my tithes, my offering, and that is it. And you must appreciate it. I think you are deceiving yourself. It's a deception. I was telling one of my bishop, I said, you know, the way the people act is our fault because of the things we have preached and taught over the years. But it's about time we repented, and start telling them truth. And I'll be honest with you. The world is not going to get any better. James 4:14.
Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow.
Uh-huh.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
So That is what 2020 was like. 2020, men of God, women of God, prophets, prophetesses all over the world, prophesying in parts. For we see in parts, we prophesy in parts. Some perceive and some saw it, but the interpretation they give to it. And some had a deeper understanding of what shall befall the world, prophesied it, but it didn't change anything. Nobody, and none of us, have all the answers to anything, irrespective of our levels of spirituality. For we see in parts, we prophesy in parts. We are all limited. He's the only one who is limitless. And so, when it comes to the future, and tomorrow, again, as I said, it is your value and your usefulness to the ministry and the work of God that determines and guarantees how long you'll be here. Please, do not depend on the arm of flesh. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. Don't trust in how organized, principled, or disciplined you are. For we have seen very organized and principled people. And people who exercise and eat well and do all the right things and did not live long. For it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. And I will show mercy to whom I will. Nor the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong or the mighty, nor riches and of skill or understanding. But ladies and gentlemen, time and chance happens to all. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4.
But no.
2 Timothy 3, 1 to 4.
But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come.
He said, know this, get it, understand it, perceive it, know it. Don't be ignorant of this. For in the last days, trying times, perilous times, difficult times, trying times, evil times will come. And look at the signs. Look at the signs. And if we look at the signs and we are wise, we will understand we are living in perilous times. Look at it.
For men will be lovers of themselves.
Lovers of themselves. Aren't we lovers of ourselves? When you ask and say, how many people are here for the first time? We ask for visitors to stand. You realize that truly speaking, we are selfish. We are lovers of ourselves. We don't really care for others or for anybody. We come to church without bringing a soul. We don't win souls. We don't talk to anybody about Jesus. For reason, some are shy. Some don't know exactly what they're saying. They can't share their love, faith, or testimony. They are afraid. They might be embarrassed. All kinds of reasons that don't make sense. But at the end of the day, all the reason comes to one thing, self. It's all about self. Lovers of self than lovers of God. When you look at this pandemic and what it's doing to the nations of the world, even now, thousands are dying in many parts of the world, in Europe, in North America, even in Africa, in South Africa. So many are dying. And you think that that will bring conviction and bring revival, but we still don't get it. For whatever reason, there's still no revival in the church. Because we are into ourselves. Lovers of self than lovers of God. We are still holding on to self. We are still holding on to things. Go ahead, please.
Lovers of money. Boasters.
Lovers of money. It's all money. Today we don't define who people are and relationship based on values or ethics or content of character anymore. It's about who has money. It's all about money. We marry for money. We relate to people for money. We respect people for money. It's all about money. It's like money is what drives this world, which it is for carnal people. It's money. Lovers of money. Lovers of money.
It's a New King James.
New King James. New King James. Lovers of money. Yeah. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. Boasters. Do you know who I am? How dare you talk to me that way? I was somewhere the other day and I saw a very important person I've known for many, many years pass by. And I was standing with somebody who said, oh, he didn't see you. Let him know you are here. So I told somebody, I said, please tell him that Archbishop is here. And I knew he wasn't going to respond because he's a very important personality. He wasn't before, but now he's a very important personality, a very important VIP, and a very powerful person. And when the message got to him, he sent the message back to me and said, oh, all right. He's going to find a place to sit and he will see me later. And never did till the program was over and I walked away. And I laughed in my head. And I laughed because he missed it. He missed it because he dealt with me based on where he stands today. He dealt with me and responded to a brother and a friend who goes out of his way to fast and pray and intercede for him. He dealt with me wrongly. He dealt with me based on certain circumstances. Martin Luther King said the other day, he said, I have a dream. I have a dream that one day my little kids or children will not be defined by the color of their skin, but by the content of character. He did not respond to me by the content of my character. He didn't respond to me by values, but he responded to me because of where he stands. And if I was somebody in society he deemed to be very, very important from the carnal point of view, he would have immediately come to greet me. But when he looked at me from the natural and from the carnal point of view and from the material point of view, I am not one of those that he has value and respect for. Because in the material realm, he doesn't see me as somebody who can do anything for him. But ladies and gentlemen, it is just a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Time changes. There will come a time in all of our lives when people you despise and have no value and respect for, you will see your need of them. There come a time. Dolawa kasida mahasis. Abalanda kawahas. Ileiti takumba lahasis. Suwahandi kamaha. What shall it take for men to come to themselves? If all this that is going on to humanity is not enough to melt the hearts of men and to cause men to stop being prideful and humble, what will it take, says the Lord? What will it take? And why are men so prideful and so much into themselves? Go ahead, look at something.
Oh, they are boasters, proud.
Blasphemous. Blasphemous. People who insult God. Mm-hmm. Insult people who stand for good in society. Say anything they want. And think they can get away with it. So it's fine. because they have a mouth to talk, they just talk. But there will come a day when your mouth can't talk, when your mouth will be shut, and all your arguments will end. Then you will know, then you will know that time changes. Right.
Disobedient to parents.
There are kids today who have no respect and values for parents because of positions and because of one thing or the other. Have no value and regards and respect for parents and for the elderly. Go ahead.
Unthankful.
Unthankful. There are people who don't have a heart of gratitude anymore. Unthankful. They don't know how to say thank you. They don't know how to open their mouth to say thank you. You talk about Shabbat, Sunday night, the time of giving God an uninterrupted praise and worship. So many people don't have time for Shabbat, but they'll go to dinners. They'll go to cocktails. They'll make time to what they call important to them because they've lost their true value systems. The things they value are not of God. It's of all, it's of self. Is yourself. I had an invitation to travel to a country for a very, very important conference. And I was invited by the head of state himself. And I said, no, I can't go. I said, no, I'm not making it. Then somebody in my office said, Papa, this is very, very important. And I said, you don't understand what is important. Your understanding of importance is different from mine. And he said, but he's a head of state. And I said, yes, head of state, but he's limited to time. It's just a matter of time. And I have another assignment. I have another assignment. And it's about souls. It's about choices and decisions and changes I must make today for eternal placement and for eternal rewards and for my place in history. And it's a distraction. It's a good invitation. I respect and honor him, but it's a distraction. It's taking me away from my cause. And that particular week, I need to be on the ground with God's people. I need to be home. So I said, reply and says, I appreciate the invitations, but I have a conflict. I can't honor it. And you are shocked and surprised. I have seen power. I remember years ago, a young man, I had an invitation with President Limam. And they had a dinner after the election in those days at Mr. Okwechi Vakwin's house at Tesano. And I was there with my dad and Digrav Johnson, the then vice president. And a lot of people gave speeches. And President Liman also gave a speech. But there was only one thing he said, among everything he said, that is still with me up to today. He said, whilst we are here, eating, partying, and celebrating our victory of this election, let us remember that there are families out there that don't have food to eat and to take care of their families. So let us remember. It stuck with me that day. And up to today, whenever I remember President Liman, that is one thing that has never left me. He said, as we are drinking, eating, celebrating, partying our victory, that we won the election, let us remember those out there who don't have food to eat. And he stayed with me up to today. And when I went to the inauguration and they gave me the program, and I was looking through and I saw President Kwame Nkrumah and Prime Minister Buzia and Paul Willy and Liman and President Rawlings and Kufuor and everybody, I saw all the speakers. I just sat there and I looked at it and I said, it's all sinking sand. Sinking sand. And so when I see people pride themselves, thinking they have power and they can do whatever they please, disrespect people, look down on others, despise people. I shake my head because time tells the story, and time defines who we are and the role we played in life. Time. Go ahead, sir.
Unholy. Unloving.
There are people, it doesn't matter how much you love them, they find it difficult to love back. For God so loved that he gave. People call themselves lovers of God, but are stingy and mean. Give peanuts and crumbs to God and the house of God and the work of God, and you call yourself a lover, and you say you have love. You cannot love without giving. Giving is a statement and a true sign of love. For God so loved, John 3:16, that he gave. Yeah. If you love, you prove it. And you prove it not by holding back, not by hoarding, and not by holding from God's work. But if you truly love, if you have the agape, the God kind of love, you'll be a giver. You'll give even when it hurts. You give even when you are exploited and taken advantage of. I have been exploited. I have been betrayed and taken advantage of. But it's still in me to give. And I'll keep giving until time is no more. I'll keep giving. Because giving is the nature of God. Giving is a divine virtue. And it doesn't matter how much you think you love and you claim you love. If you can't give and if you hold back, you don't love. You don't have agape. You have filial. Pray for you that you will have the God kind of love. Go ahead, sir.
Unforgiving.
Never forget. Always reminding you of your wrongs and what you've done wrong in the past. They never forget. They always remember what you did to them 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And it's the same thing today in our world, in the church, in politics, at the marketplace. People never forget. You offend them. And they wait. And they nest the offense like Absalom did for 4 years. And went out and slew, murdered his own brother. And came against his father. And drove his father out of the palace. Nursing offense will turn into bitterness. And there are people in the church, in politics, the marketplace, they never forgive. They'll remind you of every wrong you did to them. And they use power and position and influence and connection to hurt others to certain scores. If you are that kind, if you are that type and kind, history will not treat you fairly and kindly. If you are that kind and that type, you never had a place in eternity or in history. Why?
Slanderous.
Why?
Without self-control.
Say anything, do anything as they please. Have no self-control, no governance, no mastering. Why?
Brutal. Despisers of good.
They despise what is good. They despise good people. They despise anything good. And they praise evil. They change good into evil and evil into good. Why?
Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty.
Yes.
Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. Yeah. They will prefer to go to a party. Yeah. Go on a cruise than going to church. And whenever you talk to them about church and prayer, they say, oh, Papa, Corona. As if Corona lives in the church. They'll go everywhere. And there's nothing wrong. Lovers of pleasure. On a cruise fly to countries and nations to have a good time. Sit in a plane for 10 hours and more and see nothing wrong. And believe that they are fine. God will protect them in a 10-hour flight. Yeah. But to come to church, Corona. Lovers of pleasure than lovers of God. They will risk anything for pleasure, but they won't risk anything for God. I'm not talking to you. It's your neighbor. It's the person sitting next to you I'm talking to, not you. Go ahead, put your hands together and give God praise. All right. Genesis 1 and 16.
And God made two great lights,
mm-hmm.
the greater light to rule the day,
mm-hmm.
and the lesser light to rule the night.
Mm-hmm.
He made the stars also.
Tomorrow, as we continue to be the second week of our fast, we'll be dealing with programs and teaching how the enemy operates through times and seasons, and how he projects things to effect, to impact our lives through the sun. And that's what David talks about, the arrow that flies by day, the destruction at noonday, it all has to do with the sun. He talks about the terror by night. It has to do by the moon and the stars. Programmings working in the womb of the rulers of day and of the rulers of the night. And if you say you are a true intercessor, then the Spirit will sensitize you to wake up to pray at dawn. Because everything that happens during the day takes place in the night. These are programmings in the womb of the moon, the stars, the elements of the heavens. The sun, the moon, and the stars. They govern. The moon governs the night and the month. The sun governs the day. And anything that the enemy wishes or desires, verdicts that takes place in the regions of darkness, on the wisdom tables of the enemy, are all projected because the womb and the stars and the sun are wombs and incubators. And the enemy projects things into it to have effect on man. No wonder the other day David said, the sun shall not smite me by day, not the moon by night. What does that mean? That whatever is programmed into the womb of the sun or into the womb of the moon or the stars, the elements of the heaven, shall have no power or effect or consequence whatsoever over me. I declare on authority of the blood of Jesus that 2021, whatever is programmed in the womb of 2021 to have negative impact and effect on us, on this house, on this nation, and on those that the Lord God has assigned unto us, let it miscarry as we put our hands together, miscarry and be aborted in the name of Jesus. Aborted. Aborted. Miscarry and aborted. Kodi Saras. Samadalu Kasuda. Hey, Kuduli Tarande says, Mayandula Hasia, Marandu Zahasia, 2021, whatever they have programmed, predicted through the womb of the sun, the stars, and the moon, let it miscarry, backfire, boomerang, in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you look at 2021, our year of reversing the curse, the meaning of 2021 from the Hebrew calendar, which is according to the biblical calendar, it means reversing the curse. That is the meaning of 2021. And they get their calendar following the operation of the sun and the moon and the stars. That is where it comes from. When you even look at the cycle of women, every month is an operation and a cycle according to the moon. The moon. Look at Psalm 121, verse 6.
The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
Yeah. David was prophetic. David had deep spiritual understanding and understood the workings of psychics and mediums and sorcerers and diviners and warlocks, that they operate according to the elements, and said, therefore, the sun shall have no power, nor effect over me, nor the moon by night. We will continue on Wednesday and next week Sunday because of time. I want to keep to the time, but look at Matthew 16, 2 and 3. I will stop here and we'll continue.
He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?
The signs of the time, the signs. If you go back to 2 Timothy, I've given you some of the signs of the times we live in. And when you see those signs, it must tell you the times we live in. Lovers of money than lovers of God. Lovers of self. Lovers of pleasure. That is the time we live in. Those are signs. Children will be disobedient to God. It's a sign of the times. Ingratitude. A sense of ingratitude. Unthankfulness. Unlovable. People who cannot love. And it's difficult to love them also. Because they can't accept love. They are so much into themselves that it's difficult for them to be loved. You can't love them. You have to keep helping yourself to love them. Because they are not used to love. They are not used to loving anybody, not even themselves, much more to love others. Please stand with me. With your hands lifted up, my faith is built on nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. With Jesus. I don't want to miss my placement in eternity. I don't want to miss my place in history. I pray therefore that the Holy Spirit will enlighten me, will show me the light. I pray for the veil and the spells to be destroyed. I pray and destroy the deception of the times, the ignorance of the times. Let it be broken of me in the name of Jesus. And help me, Spirit of the living God, to live for eternity and not for today. In the name of Jesus, let the spell be broken. Let the veil be broken. I bind seducing spirits. I refuse to be seduced by the times. Put your hands together. Pray that prayer right now. I break deception. I break seducing spirit. I destroy the veil. I destroy the spell. And I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here, you say, preacher, I don't want to go to hell. I want to spend my eternity with Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my name written in the book of life. Please lift up your hands wherever you are. I pray with you. If you are watching online, wherever you are, you can join this prayer right now. You can lift up your hand wherever you are and say, preacher, pray for me. I need Jesus. I want my name written in the book of life. I don't want to go to hell. I want to spend my eternity with Jesus. If your hand is lifted up, please come. Please come to me. Let me pray with you. Is anybody here? If your hand is lifted up, please come. Let me pray with you. Anybody here? Anybody? Me, dear, oh, is all of love. I still need him. Something went wrong and bad, and you've left church. You are no more in church. You used to be involved, but you're no more involved. You come to church. You are not involved. You are nursing your wound. You are still hurt. You are still offended. You are judging everybody, even though Jesus said, judge not that you may not be judged. You are asking questions. How can you say you're a child of God and you are acting this way? How can you say you believe God, you are born again, and you are acting this way? You become a judge over others. You become a judge over others. You don't see your weaknesses. You don't see your problem. You see the weaknesses of others. And you say, today, I want to come back to church. I want to get it right. I want to walk in the love of God and in forgiveness. Will you please come as we sing this song? I need the old. I want to get involved again. I want to come back to church. I want to stop being a judge over others. I want to stop criticizing and being critical of others. Is there anybody? Please come. Please come. With your hands lifted up, everybody, with your hands lifted up, those online, wherever. Say, Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner, that my mother conceived me in sin, and that I need a Savior, your Son Jesus. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my humanity. I acknowledge my need of you. Save me. Save me. Write my name in the book of life. In the book of life. Write my name. Cleanse me. Wash me in your blood. Wash my garments in your blood. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. For I don't want to go to hell. I want to spend my eternity with you, Lord. Save me. I acknowledge you today as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart, for accepting me, for forgiving me. Thank you for embracing me. I come to you, Lord. Amen. All right. Gentlemen, if you follow that gentleman, turn around, turn around. Follow that gentleman. He will take you in there and give you some gifts. And then you'll join us. Please be seated. Put your hands together. Blessed soul all around. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a God.
So let's put our hands together. Thank God for the life of our Papa. Redeeming the time. God has given us time in which to serve Him and to honor Him. And may God help us to make the most use of our time and the best use of our time. That on the day of reckoning, the day of accountability, we will hear that expression from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. May that be our portion and our testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. With that in mind, as we come to the Lord.